Welcome to our Saturday Bhagavad Gita class. As usual, we will begin by chanting all the verses of the third chapter, which we are discussing now together. So we will all chant together like we do every time. Krishna. So this chapter is entitled Karma Yoga. Just to recapitulate briefly whatever has been discussed so far in this chapter. This chapter begins with Arjuna's confusion, because Arjuna cannot understand how fighting, which will result in killing his kinsmen and his worshipable superiors, can be auspicious. He cannot understand how fighting and Buddhi Yoga, they are compatible, how they can go on together. Therefore, he wishes to renounce fighting. So he is seeking some clarification from Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna had clarified in the beginning of this chapter that, my dear Arjun, no one can refrain from performing an activity, because that is the nature of the individual to act and to desire. Artificially renouncing the world or activities is not a solution. If one thinks that because one performs action and there is a reaction which binds us, and thus because of this action-reaction bondage, we are forced to suffer the cycle of birth and death, and if someone says that, well then, I will not perform any action, so there will be no reaction. So I will be free from the bondage of karma, from the bondage of birth and death. So Lord Krishna says, no. Simply by avoiding action, you cannot avoid the reaction. Because you have to do something all the time. Every second, every moment we are acting. And similarly, by renouncing the world, one cannot necessarily achieve perfection. Artificially renouncing the world, even when one has internal attachment to the objects of the senses, that is called hypocrisy. Mithyacharah sa uchyate. Such a person is called a mithyachari, whose acharan or behavior is mithya, it is pretense. He is pretending to be something that he is not. In his mind, or maybe in his activities too, he is engaged in sense gratification, but externally presents himself as a person who is a great ascetic. So Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, better than being a mithyachari, just act according to your situation. You are a kshatriya and you are supposed to fight. Therefore, fight, because you cannot refrain from acting even for one moment. And my dear Arjuna, do not think that every action has a material reaction. Do not think that every action that one may perform in this world will be a cause of bondage. Generally, this is true. But my dear Arjuna, there are exceptions. And what is that exception? That exception is when you perform yajnyartha karma, when you perform activities for my pleasure, O dear Arjuna, this will be the cause of freedom. Whereas when you act on your own accord, then that will be the cause of bondage. Yajnyarthat karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandhana tadartham karma kaunteya mukta sangha samachara. So this was text 9. In which Lord Krishna urged Arjuna to go on and perform yajnyartha karma. And having explained in text 3 to 9 the principle of karma yoga, or the art of work, which is to work for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna, then from text 10 to 16 Krishna begins to explain the principle of yajna. Yajnyarthat karmano anyatra was the 9th verse. And from the 10th verse now, various types of yajna are being described, beginning with Karma Kanda and moving on to Karma Yoga. We have seen that Karma Kanda means to perform activities or certain ritualistic activities of worship and so on for pleasing certain demigods, devis and devatas, according to certain prescribed rules and regulations, so that when they are pleased, they will award us all the things that we desire. The demigods, as we discussed at length last Saturday, are empowered representatives of the Lord. They are the empowered administrators of this universe. They manage the different departments like rain, heat, light, wind, and so on. So that is called Karma Kanda. So from texts 10 to 12, Lord Krishna has explained the principle of Karma Kanda. Sahayagya prajaha srishtva puruvacha prajapatihi anena prasavishyadvam eshavo stvishta kamadhuk. He says, right from the beginning of creation, Lord Krishna says, Lord Vishnu, he called all the praja together and the devatas and said, go and perform yajna, and by this you will attain all prosperity. Devan bhavayatanena, te devan bhavayantuvaha, parasparam bhavayantaha, shreya param avapsyatha. So when you please the devas by yajna, the devas will be pleased with you. And when they become pleased, they will shower all the necessities of life for you through the means of nature, like rain and everything else. Thus you will become happy. Parasparam bhavayantaha, thus pleasing each other. Humanity should please the devas will please humanity, and in this way the creation can go on very nicely, in a very controlled way. There will be all prosperity, peace and happiness. So this is a materialistic conception of religion. It is a religion meant for some material goal. Even if that goal is survival of the body, still it is a material goal. It has nothing to do with pure spiritual life. Pure spiritual life deals with the Atma and its relationship to the Paramatma, Lord Krishna. That is bhakti. It is only bhakti or love of the Lord which is truly spiritual activity. All other religious activities which are not connected with pure spiritual love, they are all called Kaitava Dharma. They are materialistic systems of religion. So those who are the seekers of the highest truth are not concerned with these lower conceptions of religion. They want the highest dharma. Savai punsam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaje. The paradharma is bhakti. There may be many lower dharmas, but the highest dharma is to love God. So therefore this Karma Kanda has been introduced for those people who do not accept or do not understand that there is one Supreme Lord, who is Krishna or Vishnu. For their benefit, Lord Krishna has created a materialistic kind of religion. And the benefit of this is that when they surrender to the principles and rules and regulations of Karma Kanda, they are benefited because they are at least following certain rules and regulations that have been laid down by God Himself. At least they are not acting whimsically. At least they are following some higher authority. Therefore, gradually they make advancement in their consciousness, in their thinking. And one day, maybe after many lives, they will come to understand, oh, there is a higher goal to life. Life is not simply a matter, oh Lord, give us our daily bread this day. This is not religion. This is also business religion, dealing with each other. God is the father of all creatures. He gives food to even the elephants and the ants. The elephants and ants, they do not go to the church or the mosque or the temple to pray, oh God, please give me our daily bread. But God provides them. So why will He not provide for the human beings? He will provide everything. So, spiritual religion comes when we give up the idea of seeking anything material for ourselves. So then the person progresses from Karma Kanda and gradually comes to seeking a higher spiritual objective, then he is beginning his karma yoga. And then he realizes, I should not be attached to the fruits of my action. I must renounce the fruits. At that time, his karma yoga is just beginning. Yoga begins when there is some link, some detachment from the fruits. So therefore, at this conception of yoga, it is a lower conception, because he is detached from the fruits of his action, but he does not know to whom those fruits should be offered. But at least he is not exploiting the fruits of his labor himself. When he advances in his spiritual understanding, then he comes to understand that Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna, he is the person to whom I should offer the fruits of my action. And in text 9, we see karma yoga at a higher stage. Yajñārthāt karma. Now he understands that I should not be simply detached from the fruits of my actions, but rather, being so detached, I must offer the fruits to Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna and try to please him. In fact, the very act, the very purpose of life is to please the Lord. So at this time, he advances to a higher conception of karma yoga, and gradually by working this consciousness of wanting to please the Lord, he comes into bhakti. Because in bhakti, the devotee has only one consideration, how to please the Lord. That's all. He has no motive for helping himself materially. So gradually in this way, the person from a karma yogi, he becomes a bhakti yogi. And he may then make advancement. However, still Lord Krishna is continuing to describe karma yoga, or what one could say is the borderline between karma yoga and bhakti yoga. Because from text 10 to 16, he is discussing the gradual progress from karma kanda to karma yoga. So karma yoga means to work for the pleasure of the Lord, to perform yajna. We have discussed last time and the time before that a very important concept. What is the meaning of yajna? Does anyone remember? What is the meaning of yajna? Normally when we say yajna, we think of a fire sacrifice, a homa, agnihotra, and everybody saying swaha, swaha, they are offering things into the fire. God himself, yajno vai vishnuho. Lord Vishnu's another name is yajna. And what is another meaning of yajna? The process of pleasing him is yajna. So when we perform any activity to please yajna, Lord Vishnu, then that is also yajna. So it necessarily mean that only when you perform an agnihotra or a homa, then that is yajna. Even if you perform or agnihotra which is not meant for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu, then that is not a yajna. It is simply a homa, simply agnihotra. But when you perform any activity simply for pleasing God, that is yajna. So yajna must permeate every aspect of our life. This is bhakti, this is also the beginning of karma yoga. It is not that yajna is one department. For 1 hour every day I will do yajna, I will please Lord Vishnu, and 23 hours of the day I will please my senses. No. Yajna means it's a 24-hour activity. One has to live entirely for the pleasure of the Lord, for serving Him, for satisfying Him. And one must do what is necessary for this purpose. So anything and everything that one does should be for satisfying Him. Sam siddhim haritoshanam. The perfection of our life is to see Lord Hari satisfied. Haritoshanam. So therefore Lord Krishna is going to elaborate from text 13 onwards on the principle of yajna. Having explained karma kanda in 10, 11 and 12, now further he is describing karma yoga, and this activity of yajna that we will discuss in text 13 is also an essential part of Bhakti Yoga. So we will all chant this verse. I will chant one line and you kindly repeat after me.
Yagya Shishta Shinah Santo Muchyante Sarva Kilbishai Bhunjate Tetvagham Papa Ye Pachantyatma Karanat.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. Very important verse, very practical. It has great practical significance in our life. So kindly repeat this translation after me. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. So here the subject matter is food, something very close to our heart. Who can do without food? We can do without so many things. Yesterday we had Nirjala Ekadashi. It is one Ekadashi in the year when compulsorily all sincere devotees, serious devotees must try to fast completely, even from water. And one day without food and water, it is such an austerity. We have to plan, and then devotees are always thinking how to prevent the hunger from overpowering us and looking forward to that time, which is the auspicious time for breaking fast the next day. And this is just one day in a year. So one day without food, and it is such an event in our life. So food is a very significant part of life, because without food we cannot live. But the beauty of this verse here and of Lord Krishna's teachings is that he has made even eating a spiritual activity. Now normally one does not associate eating with anything spiritual. Eating is something so mundane, so basic. We are all just eating food. People love to eat throughout the day. Also when they go out, they will take some snacks, they will go to a restaurant, they will take ice cream, they will take this. All through the day people love to eat. So it is never really considered a subject matter in spiritual life. But Lord Krishna shows that yajna is 24 hours a day business, and even eating can become yajna. This is a very, very important point. Even your act of eating can be pleasing to Lord Krishna. How? When you offer the food to him. As we discussed, yajna means to do anything for the pleasure of the Lord and to offer the fruits of your action to him. So you earn money. With that money you purchase food, or if you are a farmer, you grow your own food, that is the fruit of your labor. So the fruit of the labor must be offered to Krishna. So whatever food is available with you, that must be offered to Lord Krishna. And then he accepts the food, it is called prasadam, which means his mercy. And then one accepts that food, which is now no longer ordinary food, it is not simply food. It is prasad, it is spiritual. One accepts that and becomes free from karma, from the bondage of karma. So the words used here are yajna shishtaha. Yajna shishta means the remnants of yajna. When we perform an agnihotra, there are certain remnants, like there may be the bhasma, etc., which we will apply on the forehead. So what are the remnants of the yajna when you offer food to Lord Krishna? It is the food itself. So, the process of offering food to Lord Krishna is a yajna, and that is a very essential ingredient of spiritual life. And Lord Krishna mentions here, Muchyante sarva kilbishaihi. By doing so, one becomes free from all sins. Muchyante means to become free. Kilbisha means sins. So one becomes free from all sins simply by offering the food that we eat to Lord Krishna before we eat it. Such a simple activity. And Lord Krishna says here, Muchyante sarva kilbishai. Sarva means all. So all your sins can be destroyed simply by eating. See how this is Lord Krishna's mercy. That is why it is called prasad. Because Lord Krishna is so merciful that he purifies us of sins simply by the act of eating. No need to go to the Himalayas to perform so many kinds of austerities. No need to become a sannyasi. Sthane sthita, wherever you are, remain in your position, but perform yajna. But those who do not do, bhunjate te tvagham papa, ye pachanti atmakaranat. Atmakaranat means not for Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu, but for oneself. If one is pachanti, one is cooking food and eating food for one's own personal enjoyment, bhunjate, and is enjoying this food without offering to Lord Krishna, then Lord Krishna explains, te agham papa. Agham papa means it is a great sin. These are Lord Krishna's words. Please note. Agham means very grievous sins. And those who perform, those who eat food without offering to God are called papa, sinners. So this is a very, very important fact which we must all remember throughout our life. Everything we eat should be prasadam. Every morsel of food, every drop that we drink must be offered to Lord Krishna. Generally people think prasad means it is something that you just take when you go to a temple and you take a little bit, some fruit, some sweet, some halwa, some shira, and then that's all. But that is certainly prasadam, no doubt. But even your food that you eat at home, your rice, your chapatis, your vegetables, your dal, your salads, your fruits, your milk, everything should be offered to Lord Krishna. Nothing should be eaten without offering. And those who eat without offering are called sinners. Because the process of eating for one's own enjoyment, atmakaranat, is called agham, grievous sin. So just imagine, how much sin is being committed all over the world, even in India, which is considered to be a holy place, Punya Bhumi. How many homes, in how many homes are people offering the food to Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu? What percentage of the population in Belgaum must be offering the food to Lord Krishna before eating? So how much sin is going on all over the world, one cannot imagine. And here, it is important to note that food that is offered only to Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu or their incarnations, that is called prasadam. Not food that we offer to the devis and devatas and everybody else. There is no such thing like Durga prasad, Ganesh prasad, Kali prasad. These things don't exist. Prasad means Vishnu Prasad, Krishna Prasad. So anything that is offered to the demigods, that is not considered prasadam, that is not considered yajna shishtaha. The chief beneficiary of all yajnas, even earlier when the devatas used to come to take the fruits of the sacrifice, were Lord Vishnu. Yes, demigods can be offered the prasad of Lord Krishna. When we offer bhoga or food, food that is not offered is called bhoga, because it is to be enjoyed by Lord Krishna, who is bhoktaram yajna tapasam, as he declares in the 5th chapter of the Gita, that I am the only enjoyer of all that you do, of all your yajnas, of all your tapasya. I am bhoktaram. So we offer bhoga or food to Lord Krishna, he accepts it, then it becomes prasad, then we partake of that prasad, and simultaneously we may give some of that prasad to the devis and devatas who are also devotees of the Lord, being his parts and parcels. That is all right. But we cannot offer bhoga to the devis and devatas and take their remnants as prasadam. That is prohibited for devotees of the Lord who are serious to advance in spiritual life. So therefore, prasad means Krishna prasad or Vishnu prasad. Just like kirtan means Krishna kirtan or Vishnu kirtan, not Durga kirtan, Kali kirtan, Ganesh kirtan. Kirtan means Hari kirtan. Yajna means for Vishnu only, not for the devis and devatas. So this is the important principle that is being brought about here. And karma yoga begins with this eating formula, because everyone is familiar with eating. You tell people, please chant Hare Krishna mantra on the Japamala, please come to temple for satsang, or please read this Bhagavad Gita, or do some spiritual activity. People have so many excuses and so many reasons why they don't want to do it. There's always so much else, other so many other things to do. I have no time. I could not come. But for eating, surely nobody can give that answer. Nobody can say, I don't have time to eat. Everybody is eating. So all right, my dear friend, please make your eating a spiritual activity. Please simply offer the food you eat to Lord Krishna and begin your karma yoga. Just by your food, you can become a yogi. And start this process, and gradually you will make advancement. And as your heart gets purified because of eating or partaking of the prasadam, then you will advance in your spiritual consciousness. You will develop some devotion, then you will come to the path of bhakti. This is a process that Lord Krishna has described here. Now, one may wonder, what food has got to do with all this? Why is it that food is so important, and why is it that food, eating food, becomes a spiritual activity? Because the food that we eat is digested in our digestive system. It is broken down into various components. It is assimilated into the body in different ways. It goes into the bloodstream. It is distributed throughout the body. The entire body is nourished, as the energy that is taken through the food is supplied everywhere. It even goes to the brain. All the parts of the body are nourished because of the food that we take. And because ultimately all our tissues are going to be made directly or indirectly from all the things that we intake, the food, the quality of the food determines our state of mind. It determines our consciousness. It affects our mind. In Hindi, there is a saying, Jaisa anna, vaisa man. As is the food that you eat, so will your mind be. If you eat one kind of food, you will attain one kind of mental state. If you eat another kind of food, you will attain another kind of mental state. So the state of mind, the consciousness of the individual, is very much dependent on the kind of food that one eats. And this is something that you can all experiment with. I am sure you have all had experiences of how different kinds of food affect your state of mind. When you eat prasad of Lord Krishna, it will have a completely different effect on your mind. If you go on eating Krishna prasadam, you will see how your mind is getting calm and purified. When you eat atmakaranat, Pachantyatma karanat, when you eat food for simply sense gratification without offering to Krishna, then that will have a disturbing effect on your mind. Therefore, our food must be very pure. Ahara shuddhau sattva shuddhi. Sattva shuddhi dhruvasmritihi. Dhruvasmritihi sarva granthinam vipramokshaha. First of all, ahar shuddhau. Our ahar or our food must be shuddha. It must be pure. When the food is pure, ahara shuddhau sattva shuddhihi, your whole existence, your whole body, your brain, your tissues, your cells, your mind, your intelligence, everything becomes purified. Sattva shuddhau dhruva smritihi. So when your whole existence becomes purified, then your memory becomes sharp and pure. Dhruva smritihi. And then one develops an inclination for spiritual life. Those who eat prasad, gradually their minds will become attracted towards spiritual things. It is only a matter of time. It may take a little less time for someone, and for someone it may take a long time, but it will happen. If that person is simply given Krishna prasadam, today or tomorrow, in this life or in the next life, he will eventually compulsorily come to Krishna consciousness. Many times devotees have this dilemma. They have a problem. They say, well, I like this process of bhakti, make advancement, but you see, I don't get cooperation from my family members. My husband, my wife, my children, my parents, my brother, my sister, whoever it may be, they are not cooperating with me. Or somebody may be very much against spiritual life in the family. It happens many times to our devotees. The family members may vigorously oppose that person from going to a temple to attend Bhagavad Gita class, to associate with devotees. So many times devotees come to us with complaints, crying bitterly that some family member has thrown the Japamala, has torn it to pieces. They have thrown away the Bhagavad Gita. They have beaten up devotees that don't go to Bhagavad Gita again. So sometimes devotees have to go through so much of trouble simply to just become devotees of Lord Krishna. So those who do not have to undergo such situations, we should all be very fortunate. We should all be very grateful to Krishna. But in any case, so there is one best solution for everyone, and that is, of course, ultimately we have to depend on the Lord and take the situation as our mercy. But we say, play a trick. Play a transcendental spiritual trick on them. What is that? Feed them prasad. Let them not know that it is prasad, because if they know, then they will not take it. But if they don't know, just feed them prasadam, little by little, every day. And many times some ladies come, say, husband is not interested. I tell them, without telling your husband, just feed him prasadam. And then he will wonder why the food has become more delicious, why it is suddenly more tasty. And then gradually, as you keep on feeding prasadam, step by step, bit by bit, there will be transformation. For someone who is more sinful, it may take a longer time. But doesn't matter. Simply go on feeding prasad. This is how Srila Prabhupada transformed hippies in New York into happies. He made them happy simply by feeding them prasadam. Gulab jamuns he would offer to Lord Krishna with love, and he would keep it out. And all these young hippies would come with long hair, beards, many of them on some drugs and drinks, alcohol and so many things. They would not know anything. What is this Krishna? What is Ram? What is Bhagavad Gita? But they would come because some old Swami was there who was doing some strange thing. They would come and sit and they would eat. They liked the gulab jamuns very much. And he would allow unlimitedly free access to gulab jamuns, as many as you like. So they would eat dozens of gulab jamuns each. And because it was pure Krishna prasad offered with love and devotion by a pure devotee, so it had great impact on their consciousness. Their hearts became pure. They developed attraction And they all started coming to meet the Swamiji. Now we want to go back to the Swami. They could not understand what was that attraction. So therefore Prabhupada called the Gulab Jamuns ISKCON bullets. He said, these are the bullets by which I shoot down their material and sinful life. Their propensity to commit sin is destroyed, killed, simply by this Krishna Prasadam. So this is a very, very powerful weapon. You can all experience. Actually, once devotees become accustomed to Krishna Prasad, actually speaking, you can understand if some food has been offered or not. Because you understand there is something different here. But food offered to Lord Krishna, it is very delicious, very tasty. And people wonder, how is it so tasty? This is because it is imbued with devotion, imbued with bhakti. It is that bhakti that makes it so sweet and so delicious, gives it taste. And it is a bhakti that Lord Krishna tastes when he accepts the food. It is not simply the food itself. It is not that Lord Krishna is poor and that he needs our charity of food. Lord Krishna is God. He has everything. Everything is his property. Even the food that we offer him is actually his food. It is his property. But we are offering him that food, but we are adding an element of devotion to it. And it is a devotion that Lord Krishna accepts. Therefore, Lord Krishna declares in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhaktyupaharitam ashnami prayatatmanah. He says, you offer me patra, a leaf, pushpa, a flower, phalam, a flower, a fruit, toyam, some water. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhaktya prayachati. If my devotee offers to me any of these things, tad aham bhakti upaharitam ashnami prayatatmanah. Ashnami means I eat it, Lord Krishna says. He doesn't say I simply accept it. He says ashnami. The word ashnati or ashnami means eating. So Lord Krishna says, when a devotee offers me food with devotion, bhakti upaharitam, I eat it, he says. Very categorically, Lord Krishna says, I am actually eating the food. So this is the process. Lord Krishna tastes that food. And when there is more bhakti in that offering, then that tastes very sweet to Lord Krishna. He likes it very much. So therefore, that food becomes endowed with a special shakti, a special potency, which is not there in other food. Actually speaking, why is it that prasad becomes pure? Let's take a simple example, a worldly example. Suppose there is someone who has some contagious disease, which by coming to contact with him, you can also get infected, an infectious disease. And he eats some food, and he has finished half his plate, and you go and eat some of that food. Germs that are there in his food that have come from him because of his disease have been transferred to that food, and now you take that food and you get infected by that same disease, isn't it? So we can understand that these subtle things are going on even at a material level. Although here it's a physical thing. After all, germs are also something physical, although they are tiny. But in bhakti, it is a similar process. When Lord Krishna tastes that food, he infects it, so to speak, with love, with bhakti. First of all, that offering to God is surcharged with the bhakti of the devotee who offers it. So it is already surcharged with devotion. And because of that devotion, Lord Krishna tastes it, he finds it very nice. Ah, beautiful. I want more. He takes more. And every time he takes it and eats it, that food gets empowerment. It becomes powerful with Lord Krishna's love. It becomes contaminated, so to speak, with love. And when you eat that, then you also get infected with that love. That is called bhakti. So you also become a bhakta simply by eating that purified food. That is how the process works. But the main thing, the main principle involved here is devotion. It is not simply that we have to offer any food anyhow. First and foremost, Lord Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam, which means offer me leaf, fruit, flower, water. These are the things that is pure sattvic vegetarian things that should be offered to Lord Krishna. Sometimes people ask, well, if yajna is what is to be done, we have to offer our food to Krishna. I will offer my non-veg food to Krishna and I will eat. So then we tell them, Lord Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. He doesn't say Andam, Matram, etc. Offer to me with love and devotion. So Lord Krishna does not accept rajasic and tamasic foods. He accepts only sattvic foods, pure foods, which are vegetarian, which are not products of violence. And when he accepts them, he becomes satisfied. You must offer to Lord Krishna what he wants. We cannot offer to him what we want him to eat. He is not going to accept that. We cannot force Krishna, eat this. So Lord Krishna is pleased when we offer him these pure foodstuffs cooked with devotion. Now, the consciousness of the cook is very important. See, spiritual life is so subtle. There are so many subtle principles involved here which people are completely ignorant about. When a person is cooking, his state of mind or her state of mind is transmitted into that food. And then that food becomes affected by that consciousness, and the person who eats then actually gets affected by the consciousness of the cook. The consciousness is transmitted in this way. In life, consciousness of one person gets transmitted to another person in various ways which people cannot even understand and imagine or even think about. Simply when you hear somebody, he is transferring his consciousness to you by his words. His words are coming from his heart, which is full of his consciousness. So those words are, so to speak, dipped in his consciousness. And being dipped in his consciousness, they are being thrown at you like an arrow. And those words, the arrows are entering your ears, dipped with his consciousness, soul consciousness. And it is coming into your heart. It is wet with his consciousness. So it applies that consciousness into your heart and you get affected. Therefore, it is said that Avaishnava Mukhodgirnam Putam Hari Kathamritam Shravanam Naiva Kartavyam Sarpochishtam Yatha Payaha. One should never hear Hari Katha from an Avaishnava, from one who is not a devotee of Lord Krishna. Even though Putam Hari Kathamritam, even though Hari Katha is very pure, but still one should not hear it from a non-devotee. Why? Because it is affected with his consciousness. And that consciousness will be transmitted to you. And then you will be affected by that. Shravanam na eva kartavyam. Never hear such a person speaking Harikatha. So many times there are so many Bhagavad Saptas and this and that. Big people come. Lakhs of people go to hear them. They're very popular. They earn crores of rupees in this. People spend crores of rupees, pandals and such huge things. But many of them may not be devotees of the Lord. But people do not have the discrimination to distinguish who is a devotee, who, real devotee, and who is not. So here in that verse, that example is given, Sarpo chishtam yatha payaha. Sarpa uchishta yatha payaha. Paya means milk. When a sarpa or a snake touches or drinks some milk, it may be one time, just a few drops, then what happens? The poison of the snake comes into the milk. Milk by nature is pure. But because it has been touched by the lips of a serpent, it develops a poisonous effect. And when you drink that milk, you will get poison. But if you argue, but milk is pure. Yes, it is pure, but this has got contaminated by... So the process of shravanam, of hearing, is very important in bhakti. It is the heart of bhakti. It is the beginning of bhakti. Everything begins from shravanam, hearing, from authorized sources coming in a bona fide parampara of devotees that starts from the Supreme Lord Himself. So this is an example of how our words can transmit consciousness from one person to another person. What to speak of words? Even the physical presence or physical proximity of somebody affects our consciousness. Devotees experience that being in some places where there are people who are completely materialistic, it sets up such strong material vibrations which are very unpleasant. And many times you may go to a holy place and you immediately sense the vibrations because of all the holy people there. So even being next to a person, by his physical proximity, his consciousness affects you. This is the subtle nature of how consciousness is transmitted. So therefore it is not surprising to understand that a cook transmits his or her consciousness to the food, and you eat that food, and then you get affected by that consciousness. So if a person is going to cook with devotion, then that food becomes surcharged with devotion. Lord Krishna finds that food very tasty, he eats it, leaves behind the remnants, and then everything is nice. Then the person who eats it gets affected. Of course, one should therefore eat only food that is cooked by devotees and offered by devotees. If one goes to a restaurant or a hotel outside, we have no knowledge of the consciousness of the cooks. And one can be absolutely certain that the cook is not going to be a devotee, at least in the modern times. They will have all kinds of bad habits. Smoking, drinking, and everything else, eating meat. There are some restaurants, veg and non-veg. Veg and non-veg means non-veg. There is no question of veg and non-veg. They will use the same spoon, the same cooks, the same vessels. Everything is contaminated, the whole consciousness is contaminated. And even if it is so-called pure veg, still the consciousness of that cook, who knows what it is like? He may be just a thoroughly materialistic person, and we got people are very fond of going to hotels and they're eating food cooked by anyone without consideration of that person's character, his consciousness. Therefore, people's consciousness and minds are getting affected. Many times people say, if there's one good business you should start, it's a hotel, because it will run. When the market is down, this business may not do well, that business may not do well, but food will always do well. Because people love to eat, but they have no discrimination. Eating in hotel, restaurant, anybody is cooking, it doesn't matter. But human life is meant for discrimination. So the devotees of the Lord do not go here and there to hotels and restaurants and eat indiscriminately. They eat only food cooked by devotees, and only food that has been offered by devotees with love to Lord Krishna. That food is materially and spiritually very, very nourishing for everyone. As far as Lord Krishna is concerned, we have already discussed that he accepts the bhakti in the food. One may offer him grand offerings, many, many chappan bhog, 56 items, 10 kinds of kheer, 10 kinds of laddus, 10 different kinds of pulao and rice and so many things. But if that offering is not made with bhakti, Lord Krishna will not take it. When Lord Krishna was sent as a Shanti Dut, as a peace messenger on behalf of the Pandavas to make peace with the Kauravas, he arrived at Hastinapur. Duryodhan, being very cunning and diplomatic, wanted to intercept Krishna first before he came to the court, and he wanted to influence him. Of course, politics is age-old. It's not a new thing. Ministers are transferred from one state to another state. This is the influencing of leaders. The attempts have been going on from time immemorial. Such is the nature of politics. So Duryodhan, being a very great politician, he approached Lord Krishna on the way, even before he reached Hastinapur, and he invited him to come to his own house. And he had laid out a grand feast for him. But Krishna refused. He did not go there. He preferred to go to the simple house of Vidur. Because Vidur was a Dasi Putra, therefore he was not staying in the same palatial conditions that the Pandavas and that the Kauravas were staying in. So he was staying separately. So Lord Krishna was satisfied with a very humble offering made by Vidur. Because that humble offering was surcharged with devotion that Vidur had for Lord Krishna. Vidur was a pure devotee of the Lord. Therefore, there is one well-known bhajan which we sing very often. Duryodhan ka bhogyo rukha shak vidur ghar khayo aise prem pujari radhe shyam 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 केशव कलिमल हरि राधे श्याम श्याम श्याम. So Lord Krishna is a prema pujari. He is only concerned about the prema or the bhakti that is there of his devotees. Duryodhan ka bhog na khayo. He did not eat the very lavish offerings of Duryodhan, but rather he accepted the rukha shak, the simple offerings of Vidura. Such is the nature of the transcendental, all-powerful, supreme personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. We also see, in the case of Shabari, offering to Lord Ram, the fruit she tasted and offered, which is scandalous for a devotee to do. Every time we offer food to Krishna, we should never taste. Generally, when people cook at home or in the hotel, they always taste it first while it is still being cooked to see if the salt is all right and this and that. But when you cook food to be offered to Krishna, you should never taste it. Take your precautions before you cook. Be attentive so that you don't forget to put the salt or anything like that. But once you have started cooking, then you can't eat before you offer to Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna must be the first person to eat. But Shabari, she was eating every bear and giving Lord Ram her remnants, jhuta, uchishta. And Lord Ram was eating very happily because he enjoyed the bhakti in that fruit. He didn't mind that a rule had been transgressed, that a rule had been broken, a very important rule. We should be eating Krishna's remnants or Lord Ram's remnants, not the other way around. But here Shabari was reversing the whole process. And Lord Ram happily accepted. Because the higher rule is devotion. Shabari had that. That doesn't mean, of course, that we should say, well, I have devotion, but I can break the rules. No. We have to follow the rules very strictly. We can't imitate great devotees. So therefore, here is another example of how Lord Krishna is affected by only the bhakti in the offering. Another small example. When the Pandavas were in the forest, at that time Duryodhan was planning by hook or by crook to somehow ensure that they would be ruined. Always making plans. That was his devious mentality. So one time, he invited Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni happened to come actually on his own, and the wicked mind of Duryodhan immediately thought of a plan. So artificially, he offered great hospitality to Durvasa Muni. He served him so wonderfully that Durvasa Muni was extremely pleased. And Durvasa Muni said, "What is it you would like, my dear Duryodhan? Ask me for a benediction." And Durvasa Muni was a very powerful yogi. He was not a devotee, not a bhakta. But because of his austerities, he had accumulated tremendous shakti. He had many yogic powers by which he could do extraordinary things. And Durvasa Muni was well known for his very fierce, short temper. He would lose temper very fast and he would immediately curse. So everyone was afraid of Durvasa Muni. But on the other hand, he was also easily pleased. So, being pleased with Duryodhan, when he asked him for benediction, so Duryodhan, the clever politician that he was, he said, I love my brothers, the Pandavas, so much, and they are all alone in the forest. So my request to you is, you please go and bless them by your mercy. Please go and give them your association. And being blessed by your mercy, then they will be happy even in those difficult circumstances. But please go in the afternoon at such and such time. Now Duryodhan knew the timetable of the Pandavas. The Pandavas had acquired the Akshay Patra. And in that vessel, unlimited food could be produced. And unlimited food was required because Bhima was there. So naturally, they could not do with one person's or two people's food. So that could produce any amount of food once a day. And they would eat it all. But the condition was that the moment Draupadi had finished her food, then for that day, the Akshay Patra would not give any more food. Therefore, it was Akshaya Patra. So Duryodhan requested Durvasa Muni to go there after Draupadi had eaten. See how clever he was. Because he knew that Durvasa Muni will go there very hungry. He will travel a long distance and he will expect some food. And then where will they get food in the middle of the jungle? And sure enough, Durvasa Muni came there. And whenever he traveled, Durvasa Muni did not travel alone. He traveled with 10,000 disciples. So one fine day, suddenly after all the Pandavas and Draupadi had eaten, Durvasa Muni came on the scene with his 10,000 disciples and said, "My dear Yudhishthira, I have come." So Yudhishthira Maharaj and others very happy, received him very nicely. And naturally they had to offer him food. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was extremely worried. Everyone was in great anxiety. What to do now? And then Yudhishthira Maharaj bought some time. He was very intelligent, Yudhishthira Maharaj. So he said, "My dear Muni, you have just travelled long distance. I think you may wish to take your bath. So kindly take your bath in the river, chant your Gayatri Mantra, then come back and we will be happy to take care of you and offer you our hospitality and feed you nicely." Yudhishthira purchased time so that he could at least have time to think what to do now. And then there was a hurried meeting among the Pandavas. What to do? Such a great crisis. When Durvasa Muni comes back, and Draupadi has finished eating, the Akshay Patra is empty, what are we going to offer? And if he gets angry, he will curse us. And his curse, that means everything is finished. So then they were thinking, and finally they could not understand what to do. But Draupadi, she said, "Yes, there is only one solution. I will call Krishna." So she called out to Krishna. Krishna was far away in Dwarka. And they were on the other side of the country, in the forest. But Krishna hears the prayers of his devotees very easily. There was no telephone. She did not dial STD or trunk call. But immediately by spiritual trunk call, spiritual STD, the message was transmitted to Lord Krishna. When she said, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda, please come, we are in trouble, we need you." He is Bhakta Vatsala, always very affectionate to his devotees. So he came immediately, as if he was just in the neighborhood and he walked into the house. For Lord Krishna to come to our rescue doesn't take time. He doesn't have to have waiting list, reservation, in line, RAC. He just comes by Garuda in a moment. Even from Vaikuntha he comes in a moment. So what to speak of Dwarka? So he came and said, "Draupadi, what is the problem? Why are all of you so unhappy?" So Draupadi explained the situation. He said, "What's the problem? You just give me whatever food is left in that Akshay Patra and everything will be okay." She said, "There is nothing left. I have even washed it." So he said, "No, no, look carefully." "Yes, I have seen nothing." So Krishna looked very carefully there. He took out one grain, half a grain, and he put it in his mouth. "Oh, so tasty," he said, "wonderful, most delicious." And just at the exact moment the Lord Krishna tasted that grain, something very strange happened in the river. Durvasa Muni And all his 10,000 disciples, they had just finished their Gayatri and their bath. And suddenly Durvasa Muni started feeling his stomach was so full. It was as if he had eaten a meal for 10 people. And he said, I can't even move, my stomach is so full. And he looked at his disciples and they all looked at each other saying, what happened? Suddenly we are feeling so full, as if we have eaten meals for 10 people. And then Durvasa Muni became afraid. He said, Yudhishthir Maharaj, being the king of the Pandavas, he must have arranged a grand feast for us. And now we go back and we don't eat his food. He will be offended, insulted. And to offend such a great devotee, it is going to bring ruin to my sadhana, to my shakti. I will be finished. Durvasa Muni had one experience with Ambarish Maharaj in the past. So he did not want a second experience with Yudhishthir Maharaj. So he said, we cannot in any way offend Yudhishthir, so what to do? So he consulted with his senior disciples and decided they should all run away from there. So they all ran away, Kamandalu and everything, as fast as they could on their full stomachs, they started running. And Bhimsen, he had come to check. Now that Krishna had brought, Bhimsen wanted to see the fun. So he came running and he saw all of them running away. Muniji, Durvasa Muniji, where are you going? Please come. At that time, Durvasa Muni looked back. Bhim is coming. My God, run. They even ran faster. And they ran as fast as their legs could carry them and they went away. And then all the Pandavas heaved a sigh of relief. And as usual, they thanked Krishna. Krishna had come to the rescue of the Pandavas yet once again. Yasmin tushte jagat tushtam. When he is satisfied, the whole world is satisfied. When Krishna took that one grain, he was satisfied with the bhakti there, and all those 10,001 brahmanas there became satisfied, full in stomach and full in heart. So we can see how when Krishna accepts our offerings of love, he becomes so satisfied, automatically all of us will become satisfied. So if we want the world to be a happy place and prosperous place, then we should ourselves take only Krishna prasad. We should propagate the system of everyone offering prasadam, and we should profusely distribute Krishna prasadam to everyone. This will be the biggest yajna. Kali Yuga, the major yajna is Sankirtana yajna, the yajna of the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the other yajnas, like the offering of food to Lord Krishna, are also very important ingredients in the path of bhakti. So we should all try to offer whatever food we eat, sattvic food, and in this way purify our heart and advance in spiritual life and make our human life successful. So we will now have darshan of the deities. We will have one kind of prasadam now, feast our eyes on the beautiful forms of the lordships, and after that we will have yajna shishta. Whatever food has been offered to Lord Krishna, we will partake of those remnants now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.